Welcome to Cast Ranger Episode 9. We are joined here once again by our friend Mr. Whitecaster, or Northcaster, whichever it is this time.
You dick. I was always Northcaster.
Always!
Unfortunately, our Pink Ranger, Lytrin, has been attacked by the main villains of our series and is currently asleep.
I was going to say she was kidnapped, and after this podcast we have to go rescue
her. No, hypnotized, put to sleep.
Okay, that works.
So,
but also kidnapped.
By our arch nemesis, Metrolinx.
Also a Metro.
Metrolinx.
Metrolinx.
Who?
Metrolinx.
That's not answering my question!
Isn't it?
No!
You don't know our one arch enemy, Metrolinx?
Isn't that a chain of supermarkets?
No.
That's Metro.
Note for some of you guys, Metrolinx is the Ontario government-funded transportation ministry. They're the guys who design most of the public transit.
So do you mean are they our enemies?
Hold on.
Tokyuger.
Hold on. Is our villain Rob Ford in a Rita Repulsa costume?
Make my crack drop!
No.
Come on. Coke abusing witch from space.
Fine.
Make my just crack rock crow.
Just Rita Repulsa uncracked. Can you fucking imagine?
Yes.
You triggered the monster of the week, Lane's X-Bone.
It punched me.
Episode 9, we finally introduce our main villain.
And a monster. It's evil robot.
Rob Ford in a Rita Repulsa costume. Okay.
And evil robot X-Bone.
And her evil organization, Metrolinx.
DeviantArt it.
Anyways, time for the roll call!
We're live! Watching all the anime! Redcaster, Cho Raven!
Equipment Wielder! Bluecaster, Ishida Zazeel!
Respecting the source material! Greencaster, Zenshi!
Actually White! Blackcaster, Ransack!
Northcaster, Cell Saga!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai! Cast Ranger on air!
And there you have it. Okay. So, as we mentioned, Lane is not here. David is also not here. He turned in for the night because he assumed Lane was going to be here.
His powers were taxing on him. It's very, very difficult.
Yeah, it's like the whole green candle bullshit, except it's silver and angry.
It's an angry silver candle.
Yes. Someone chop it.
It's yelling at everyone.
That's one really angry candle, you guys.
It's voiced by Samuel
L.
Jackson.
It's like burning at us. So
that shit's next level.
I am burning off the top of my head.
Motherfucker, I am burning right now. I'm on fire.
I'm tired of this motherfucking flame on this motherfucking candle.
Oh.
Okay. We've digressed way too long.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I believe we should get into things.
Yes. All right. Time to talk about Gaim episode 28 and then Tokyuger 11.
All right.
So we're going to start with Gaim.
Kamen Rider Gaim.
And shuffling the order around today, we are going to start with our guest, Mr. Northcaster.
Hello, everybody. I'm Cell Saga, and I have so much to say about Gaim. But not really.
Damn! You got my hopes up!
Plot
twist.
I noticed that this episode, yes, there was plot stuff. I feel, though, I'm not the best guy to talk about said plot stuff.
How far are you in the catching up department?
Not far.
Episode number?
8.
Damn, you got lots to go!
Yeah. So, I can't say too much without it sounding like complete dribble, so I thought I'd talk about my favorite thing of the episode, the costume design.
Oh, and we're not talking about the rider suits.
We're literally talking about what they wore in civilian form.
Who are they wearing?
Namely the scene, though, where we have all our baddies in the boardroom, the giant empty boardroom, which I love.
The conference room of evil.
The conference room of evil. But it's the fact that, like, okay, 4 of the 5 are wearing what you could consider cliche, like, things for villains to wear when they're still trying to look, you know, not so conspicuous, but they still look pretty fucking conspicuous.
Professional.
Suits. Professional. Like,
hats.
Sid, no, like, I mean, Sid has, like, a bowler hat. He looks like fucking Heisenberg from Breaking Bad. Yoko, you know, she has the eyeliner, the black eyeliner and all that. Ryoma has his highlights in his hair.
The lab coat.
Yeah. Takatori is wearing, like, he's like a boss in suit. But the best thing is that you see all that. Then we cut to Michi. He's wearing a fucking Christmas sweater.
Oh my
God. Hey, don't we now our gay ass apparel?
Exactly!
Guys, just lay off. It's a really nice sweater.
In a conference of evil, he has the Christmas sweater of evil.
Christmas is evil.
It's got snowflakes on it.
Cole, did you steal Lane's powers for the day? Because suddenly you're pink. Suddenly you're pink and fabulous.
Line change.
So unfortunately, that really is all I have to say. I just that was, like, unfortunately for me, the thing that popped the most about this episode was the Christmas sweater. I will have more to say when we get to Tokyo, but for now, just fucking Christmas sweater of evil.
Yep. I think I have to call this episode that now.
Christmas sweater of evil.
Okay, Mr. Blackcaster. Take this away.
Oh, this is gonna be fun.
How are you gonna follow that?
Well,
I'm gonna be more interested in following him.
Well,
outside.
That doesn't help when, you know, everything's being said.
See, last week you can kind of figure out what he's gonna say.
After I watched this week's episode and then I listened to last week's podcast, and I'm just like, oh my God.
What did I do wrong, Lord?
We were so on the mark. Yeah. And at the same time, we didn't see any of it coming.
Well, first and foremost, just something that happened at the beginning. I really like that Koda's sister is being a lot more receptive to what he's doing. Because even though he's at the point where he realizes, shit, you're right, I should be making something of myself and doing something with myself, she's like, no, you know what? You're being productive. You're doing something with yourself. So,
well, like, it's more along the lines that you're involved in something important. I noticed that. Keep it up.
Yeah. The money thing is kind of, we're getting by, so don't stress over it.
You know, and then Bondo's a friggin' boss.
No, Bondo is the hero.
But that was actually, I thought, a really nice scene where they're eating dinner and she says, this is all we can afford this week or whatever. It was a nice, actually, acting moment, I thought.
Yeah.
So it was very, very well done. It was shot very well. And just, like, you could really see the two actors do clearly have a good bond going. And I thought that was a nice scene.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sailor Mercury.
Really?
Yeah, from the live-action show.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Can we wait until...
That's...
Yeah, that's totally her.
Kawaii desu ne.
That's why I've always liked her.
You just blew my mind, man.
You're welcome.
I love
Smala. I hope you clean it up afterwards.
I was gonna say, and then there's that other one from Tokyuger.
Yeah.
Yeah. That. Anyway.
Who was who?
We'll talk about that then. My next point was Takatora. I was just kind of like, man, just the shit you've been going through and putting yourself through in this episode, it's like, I could feel the coda coming up. And I was like, man, you've been spending way too much time with them. You're all like, hey, guess what, you guys? I found the alternative solution. Everything's going to be A-okay.
Yeah.
Insert knife in back.
The really awkward part of that whole thing was just seeing him being all smiling and happy and, yeah, things are gonna be great. It's a sunshine day.
Yeah, no kidding. Just, I don't know. It was really crazy.
Seeing that and then knowing exactly what the rest of the room was thinking at that moment.
Especially when you remember the name of the actual episode.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Seiketsu's betrayal. It was like, it was that obvious.
But it was funny because they took that in, like, a couple different meanings of what that meant.
Actually, I never thought about that.
I watched it this episode 3 times to just try and...
To
catch some people up. It's a matter of Zangetsu, or Takatora, being betrayed by Yggdrasil, and then Michi in
Zangetsu.
Zangetsu betraying Koda and Kaito, I suppose, or the illusion of Kaito, just kind of, see, I told you, you know, just, it's a double-sided betrayal, which is just kind of, both parties are without Zangetsu now.
Yeah.
Well,
for now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, the thing is...
More than likely, he's fine.
One point
well,
that...
yeah.
Well, I'll talk about it on my turn, but I have a couple points about that.
Speaking of occurrences in which Michi dons the Zangetsu outfit, please take it off, like, now.
Yeah.
Like, you don't deserve to wear that. And when you put it on, it makes me want to punch you lots.
I can actually...
No, I understand.
I can attest to this. During the third viewing, he was actually just like punching the screen,
just
basically.
Gesturing punches towards
Michi. Don't punch my TV.
No. I just... That'll teach you to put Michi on your TV.
I didn't put Michi on the TV.
That'll teach someone to put Michi on your TV.
You know what?
Because punch the TV! Just his oh-so-punchable face at this current point in time. I was like, I don't know if it's just the writing in which is good or the acting in which is good. I'm Joffrey levels of I'd like to punch you in the face.
No, nice. The funny thing is, up until now, I've been like 100% behind Mitsuzane. And this episode kind of made me start rethinking that. Especially after last week where we discovered that he was actually Kusaka. But now, after what he did and how he just stood by and watched as Takatoro was shoved off a cliff...
Michi, you're a dick.
Even I start questioning myself, why do I like him again?
Bill from accounting only had one more day till retirement.
That is not that far off.
That's exactly what happened.
But it was just... Seeing Takatoro 100%... faithful in Mitsuzane, despite the fact that he was standing there not doing a damn thing.
That was more, I think, Takatora perceived that motion as sort of, I'm keeping at a safe distance in case, you know, brother's trying to protect me in this instance.
If
he didn't see Michi getting too close to the Yggdrasil guys, just as a matter of, alright, I'm gonna listen to what you have to say and then fuck off.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Just kind of, alright, thanks, brother, and then run away.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. But yeah, it's just so, like, this plot, you guys. This plot. It's just, it's getting just better and better.
Now, can I just say one thing about Takatora and that terrible little, I am so insanely, unnervingly trusting of all of you moments. Like, Sid, you're betraying me. Oh my god, why would you do that? Yoko! Good, you're here. Help me out here. Sid has betrayed.
Oh,
Sid
no,
has betrayed us.
Betraying.
Oh,
no,
God.
Ryoma,
God, you're attacking me too. Are you on his side? Oh, good, Ryoma, you're in here to help me too.
And
God, you're shooting me.
And then the Duke Henshin, finally.
It's like fucking Shakespeare wrote this with all the betrayals and who the hell's on which side.
Tell you, man, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's been a thing.
We're
since
in the
we
forest
started.
Of betrayal.
Game of Thrones, as written by Shakespeare.
No, but I wanted to bring up a point because we need to keep in mind who's writing this. Now, if this were any other writer series, if we had any other writer, watching Takatora fall off that cliff and not see him land would tell everyone he will be back.
That's what I
meant.
But it's Urobuchi.
Let's remember who is writing the show. It is a very real possibility that he might not come back.
However... That flash forward at the beginning of the series kind of says...
I'm way too strong...
That's the only evidence we have in favor of that.
I'm very strong in the belief of Urobuchi's writing and just the overall atmosphere of the show. If Takatora died, we would see it. It would be in plain sight.
Fair
they
point.
Wouldn't let that death occur off screen.
They would... It's like they would pull a mommy with it. It would be in front of our faces.
That was my example when I
tried
to
explain.
It
would be in front of our faces and eternally scarring.
Yes.
I was going to say, we would know about it.
There would be kids committing suicide over it.
Yeah.
Takatora.
One thing, Takatora being robbed of his Genesis driver could possibly herald is the return of OG Zangetsu. Think about it. If he does survive the forest, he could meamble back to his office and pick up the Sengoku driver and be back in action in 5 minutes.
Meamble?
Yes.
Yeah. Or he's got it.
He might.
I was going to say, You never, like, when it comes to Ryder, you apparently never know how deep those jacket pockets are.
He is wearing a pretty nice suit.
But that's what I mean. I've just seen way too many times people reach into their jacket and pull out a belt. And I'm like...
And to that answer, I would like to point you to Keisuke Nago from Kiva.
Or I would like, like to point out the remains of the Yggdrasil tent in Helheim right now that probably has a couple of...
The mass production models.
Yeah, the mass production models are probably sitting there. No, but
he probably still has his original one.
And how does Duncan MacLeod sit down with those swords in his trench coat? That's really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that work?
TV magic.
Sitting down in a chair. I'm fine. Stand up. Pull sword out of trench. How the fuck did you... I'm sorry. I just...
I want to know how many of you guys, other than me, actually got the Duncan MacLeod joke. Very good, Raven. Very good.
I've watched the whole TV series.
It's one of my favorite shows of all time.
You mean the joke that he said?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I watched the show. I thought you meant there was a joke about Duncan MacLeod in the episode.
No, I just... I mean, it was actually no Highlander.
That's well enough all I've got to say about this episode.
Yeah, the thing where Sid actually genuinely surprised most of us at the end.
Yeah.
Biggest threat is gone, so I'm gonna betray you now.
No, fuck you guys. There goes your board.
I'm going to the betrayal garden. Bye.
Oh my god.
And I have a bike, unlike you fuckers.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. It's like you see everyone get a locked vehicle at some point, and then they just poof. But anyways.
Oh no! Everybody else, the old beat riders, are still using them. It's the fact that you've never seen anyone from Yggdrasil use one because they have the goddamn portal in their building.
True. Well, not anymore.
The one who has the freaking lock vehicles.
Yeah. One last thing I wanted to bring up, not relating to the episode, but I did find something lately that was pretty amazing. On someone's DeviantArt, and I'll link this in the description, there was a little Flash applet that lets you take pretty much every rider from the show and give them any arms with either belt. And it's actually pretty convincing looking. It's a nice alternative to buying the arms change figures. Hmm. I've had loads of fun with it, and I'll link it in the description for any Gaim fans who want to see what different combos look like. So far, my favorite is Duke Matsubukuri arms. Do it. And yeah, that's pretty much what I had. The Duke Henshin is so awesome, I've watched it like 30 times! That's all. Since Lane is not here, we'll move on to Paul.
Okay. This entire episode was pretty fun for me. I mean, Michi's just proving himself to be just the best of Lannisters this entire time. I mean, as you all recall, I like to call Michi Lannister. And yeah, he's pretty Lannister here. He fucking...
He's pretty Lanny.
Yeah. Sure, Sid was the one that, you know, chucked him off a cliff and is technically the one who murdered him. Yeah, Michi's kind of responsible for this.
He who betrays last, betrays best.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, he may not have thrown him off the cliff.
And as we know, Sid got the last betrayal.
Yeah.
For now.
Betrayal!
Littlefinger betrayed everyone, and we were all like, oh dear.
Good.
Yes. Yeah, this really is Gaim of Thrones.
It's not called Gaim of Thrones for nothing.
Yeah.
There's a picture of Gaim on the throne.
Betrayal Garden the musical.
Yeah, it is Betrayal Garden the musical. Michi, jump off a fucking cliff, man. Like,
follow him off.
I mean, okay.
Follow your brother.
In his defense, the fact that we hate him this much means he's an effective character.
No, absolutely, and that's why I've liked him up to this point.
He's well written. I mean, like, if you were to sit down and do a critical analysis of the show, you would actually have to probably call Michi one of the best characters in the show, because he makes you feel exactly what you're supposed to feel about him. My only problem is it's been kind of abrupt. He kind of turned on a 180, like, you know that moment when he started thinking, oh...
He's like a professional wrestler.
Yeah, he just turned heel for no reason. Yep. He was just like, you know, there's a point, you know, I think life would be better if Coda just went away. Where the fuck did that come from?
No, it started when, you know, Coda revealed everything to Mai, and he straight up throttled him in the middle of their fucking stage.
No, I know that, but that's so childish. I mean, to switch your entire character around completely just
because
for that
his point. Entire character, the whole show is he's in love with Mai, and he's trying to make sure she's happy, and then Coda fucked it up.
His entire MO up until
that
this
was
point was
the entire
make
point
sure Mai doesn't find out.
And then Coda
the
fucked it up.
The one thing he was trying to keep from happening happened. Your entire world is in pieces.
And then on top of that, when Coda when he tried to confront Koto about it, Mai ended up slapping him across the face.
And the problem is he doesn't understand, like, that what he was doing right there was wrong. I mean, what's she gonna do? Just keep sitting around waiting for her friend to come home? Like, isn't it worse to give her false hope and just have her sitting there?
But that's
waiting?
That's the polarizing belief here. It's pretty much Koto versus Michi, whereas Koto represents truth, Michi represents, blissful ignorance.
But Koto didn't even want to do it. He only revealed it when he had a gun pointed to his head, metaphorically speaking.
I wouldn't call that much of a gun.
But Mai was standing there right in front of him, but he couldn't lie to her.
He didn't have a gun to his head, he had tits in his face.
Shut up!
No!
Just as lethal!
No, wait. Okay, up until the episode where he revealed it to her, he was only hiding it from her because, A, he was still recovering from the shock himself, and B, he was under advice from Michi not to tell her.
But he believed that he shouldn't have told her. Like, he was so torn up about it the entire time that he told her. Like,
No, but when he did tell her, he was like, I'm so sorry I didn't tell you this.
And then immediately thereafter, weight of the world has been lifted off his shoulder.
Yes, and hindsight's 20/20. Yeah. He now sees afterwards that, yes, he probably should have respected her more to go and fucking tell her straight up the truth. I mean, yeah, he didn't know. He's just, like, Koda's being a martyr here, and Michi is blaming all of the wrong people. He's like, yes, he's still a very, very good character. I'm just saying his motivations are all just motivated by the fact that he's a fucking dumbass. He's a total dumbass, and he's turned into a complete vindictive asshole. And I'm pretty sure that they're trying to pull some stuff where it's like, that's the way he's always been this entire time, sort of a true nature versus a front sort of thing.
Which is interesting when you remember that scene where Michi is asking Mai what his persona is supposed to be. It's like, what is my normal? Oh, you're usually so mature and in charge and all that. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't sound like me.
Yeah. No.
That was a really nice scene.
He's still a dumbass.
Well, we'll see where this takes him from here.
Takatora. I like him so much.
Yeah,
The past tense. I'm pretty sure I'm with you guys. I'm pretty sure he's still alive. I mean, there is a chance that he's not still alive. I mean, he did kind of Reichenbach Falls all the way down. But
okay, if you're using that analogy, then he's definitely alive.
Well, let's put it this way. We don't have a body yet.
Yep. Just don't worry, the rocks broke his fall.
And his back.
Luckily, my neck broke my fall.
That's why he was sitting in the flash forward.
We find out that Koda and Takatora were actually behind a rock the entire time, and meanwhile, they were murdering a very, very well put together marionette, and the two of them were just sitting there like,
what?
No, Michi, don't throw me over the side. No! Oh, Koda, you're so sexy.
Okay, this is reaching fangirl territory. Okay.
That's the point!
I just said something to Kevin off the side here that he just gave me a look for. When I was saying, don't worry, the rocks broke the swallow, and you're like, and his back, and I'm like, yeah, that's why he was sitting in the flash forward.
Oh,
snap!
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Broken Shinzon gets.
This is my note. This is my note, John. This is my note.
Are you done, Paul?
Eyes on me, John.
Pretty much. I mean, you guys mentioned Koda's sister. I like Koda's sister. Koda's sister's pretty cool. I mean, she's pretty understanding about this entire situation.
Not quite aware of the...
Well,
hey,
she doesn't know everything yet.
Yay! I'm pretty
not
sure...
Not quite... I don't think she knows it's about saving the world.
I'm
but
pretty
she's still
sure
married.
She's got an idea. I'm pretty sure at this point she's just kind of like...
Well, she knows that he's involved with the Invest, so it's at least something related to that.
Also, he transforms in public a lot.
Yeah.
He did it in front of her.
In episode 2!
I'm pretty sure she's humoring him.
That's just commonplace now because of the Bravo propaganda, the beat riders and the armored riders in and of themselves have been made public knowledge.
Up until now,
like, so why would we need to
hide?
Well,
the thing
people
is,
know.
If you think about it, ever since Decade, none of the riders have really given a shit about keeping their identity secret.
Fair enough.
No, because by decade, Kamen Rider basically became about being a Doctor Who character rather than being about a person who was kidnapped by an organization and turned into something.
Yes. We talked about this last week. A lot of the early writers
really didn't give a fuck either.
It's mostly Power Rangers that does that.
Just saying, there wasn't a lot of that early on either.
Minami Kojiro gave a fuck. He was all like, oh no, I mustn't transform in front of the young children. I must go over there and transform and fight the evil monster over there. Damn you, Gorgum! I will destroy you!
Oh no, no!
I have to bring up a community joke. If you were Superman, would you tell me? I would tell everyone. I don't know why he ever wanted people not to know.
Yeah. Bitch, I'm Superman! Get on it!
I'm a Kamen Rider! Let's go!
Yeah, you know what? Cyborg Dick Hydraulics spills in.
There you go. Banana!
It's not called Shocker for nothing.
Oh, God.
Kinky. Very, very kinky.
Well, then.
Okay.
This joke is a severe wrong turn.
Raven, you want to get us back on track? Because I have a nice OCD rant to get on about belt stuff.
So that Bando.
Yeah, fucking awesome.
I gotta say...
Thank you, Goro and Mishima. Yeah. For Ryuki and Kabuto, respectively.
Yeah. Freaking second in command of Zect. The second in command of Zect.
You forgot Zect.
I know. The second in command of Zect. Running a juice bar. I just love him, especially in this episode. It's like, Kota's sitting there like, oh, all this stuff is going on, and I don't have a job, but I can't find a job because I keep running into invests, and I have to fight them and save people.
I'm just going to post this thing here.
Yeah. Are you trying to tell me that the dude who runs Ernie's Juice Bar is, in fact, Mishima from
Yes.
Do you mean to tell me that Ernie was the B once?
Yes.
Once upon a time,
and I could have sworn at some point or other he was Fies as well, but apparently that's a different actor.
Different actor
who looks a fuck ton like
him. He is not Takumo. I proved this.
You
definitely
did.
Not a racist joke. They don't all look alike.
No, I know that. I'm not talking in general. I'm talking. Holy shit! They might as well be twins.
No, I completely understand. However, that is not the case.
Yeah, it was proven to me that was not the case. But at the same time, it's like, holy shit, you two look alike.
That's so does fucking Shinken Brown and Kyoryu Cyan. But I proved they were different people too.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, no, Bando and the Kota in the juice bar. Like, I can't find a job. All these invests showing up. I won't have a chance. Just I couldn't even work if I wanted to. And Bando just kind of nonchalantly walks past, puts up a job ad right next to Kota.
Just clear his throat.
Just that thing that I was just like, why are you trying to find a job? You have a perfectly serviceable juice bar, which you are personally good friends with the owner.
Yeah. And the owner's just like, walks out with the job ad right next to Kota's head, and the job ad even says, includes defense of Zawame City. I'm like, Bando, are you saying you're going to pay him to help you part-time and pay him to run around the city fighting invests?
Bando, you're the best boss ever.
You know what would be hilarious?
Waiter, dishwasher, and superhero.
No, you know what would be the best thing ever? The condition. While you're running around saving invests, you have to wear an ad for the fucking bar.
Yeah. Also make deliveries.
That's an ad for the bar.
He's a giant orange samurai.
Oh my god, if they do a Spider-Man 2 in the sense like he has to make a delivery and he's running late and he engines, that will make everything.
He tried to do that in episode 2.
He tried. Didn't work.
Couldn't fit into his cart.
Yep. No, but Bando is awesome just for that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Bando, did you just offer to pay him to do exactly what he's doing plus some part-time work for you?
Thank you.
You're a good guy, Bando.
Yeah.
Don't ever change.
We love you, Bando.
Give him a belt. Okay.
And you just know that Kota will do everything to be...
No, it's like, you did good by us, Bando. Give him a membership belt.
Yeah. They give him a mass production.
Yeah.
The catch 22 is you gotta be a Karakage.
Damn.
Yeah. It's good enough for
Hase. Can I at least be Gridon?
No. That's not
Gridon's not dead yet.
Not allowed to be a thing.
Yeah. No. No.
Can I get a cappuccino?
Cappuccino or
this is a juice bar!
let me get a cappuccino.
Let me get a fucking cappuccino.
Okay, so
I'm gonna cut that there and move on.
Just I just wanted to talk about something real quick before we move on to Tokyuger. This episode has cemented a couple of ideas in my mind regarding how the Sengoku driver / the Genesis driver works. Up until this point, there's been a bit of a question on the base suit, a.k.a. like the Gaim form, the Baron form, about whether they were determined by the belt in itself or the user. Now, this came into question when Baron was given a Genesis driver, and he still retained the exact same form. Now, I realize there was a production reason for that, but there's still got to be some explanation in the story.
I have a theory.
Okay, go ahead with your...
I believe that the plates work as a sort of USB drive sort of thing that has existing rider data for the chassis of the armor built into it. When it's plugged into a Sengoku driver, it automatically loads that data into the Sengoku driver for storage, which is why it can be removed in order to use Jimba forms.
That is actually a very good idea, and it does fit in with the thesis that I've come to with regards to the belts. Basically, up until when Baron Shiden first appeared, the Genesis driver form, the base suit, was exactly the same as regular Baron. So at that point, my belief became, maybe the base suit is determined just by the soul of the individual. No matter what belt he uses, he will always be Baron. He will always look like Baron when he henshins. But because of this episode, where Mitsuzane picked up Takatora Sengoku driver and his melon seed and became Zangetsu Shin instead of Ryugen Shin, this pretty much confirms that the base suit is determined by the individual belt that they've got, which fits in with your theory that the individual rider faceplate that they've got determines the look and powers of the base form.
Based on the first person to put it on.
Which is exactly.
Which is basically why I believe that when a rider in Yggdrasil is given a Genesis driver, that Genesis driver is custom made for them using
exactly.
a hard drive from
which
inside
would,
their Sengoku driver.
Which would mean that when they gave Baron his Genesis driver, they purposefully designed it to have the
we
exact same base form as Baron. Which is really interesting because this means that let's say for example that the Sengoku belts that were handed out at the start of the series were not locked to their initial user. If, for example, Kaito and Kota were able to switch belts, Gaim would Kota would become Baron, and Kaito would become Gaim because the suit design is locked to the faceplate or the individual belt in the case of the Genesis driver. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was really interesting to confirm because I'm the kind of OCD person who needs to know everything about how superpowers like Kamen Rider works.
Yeah.
So I just thought this was a really neat episode to cement some of my theories and totally flip some of my other theories on their heads.
And speaking of theories, if I'm correct about certain characters in relation to actual Sengoku era people, prepare for Cid to be doing rather well for the next little while.
Yeah, it's looking like that.
I hope so.
If he's representative of who I think he is, then he takes over after Takatora.
Cool. Well, he's a Viking. Raping and pillaging is kind of a shtick.
Hey. One thing I've noticed about the rider armors is that no matter... I don't know if this is old news or anything like that, but I noticed between Baron and Duke, Lemon Energy is pretty static. It's constant.
That's actually true of all of the Loxies.
No, I know.
No matter who uses it, each Loxie will generate that set of armor.
Yeah. And
the only exception is the Jinba forms, which is a situation all on itself.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of like, that was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Like, if you gave Kachidoki to Baron, he would get the same armor.
Mm-hmm.
On top of his Baron base form.
Yeah. So it's basically a chassis and armor. It's
yeah.
Like a car.
Which is exactly why I enjoyed the Flash applet that I was talking about earlier, because you get to mix up anyone with any armor.
Yep. That's our explanation as to how the Sengoku drivers work, I guess.
Yeah. Built mechanics in you. The more you know.
Mm-hmm. No, it's happening.
Okay, now. I've taken up way too much time on this. Let's go ahead and move on to Tokyuger.
Reshu Sentai Tokyuger!
All right, Mr. Northcaster, start us off.
Why was our switching noise a cat?
I know.
No, I was trying to do the train noise.
And that was not a train, that was totally
that was
a
my,
cat.
That was the sound that accompanies the Henshin Decimus.
That's the cat that's about
the
to be train hit
horn.
By the train.
Yeah, it's the cat
shut
being
up.
The train.
Anyway, I'll start it off.
Barry, edit it out.
From I like this episode. From what I've heard, this is like one of the few episodes you guys really like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed this episode because this was a villain featured episode.
Yay!
And if you guys, and if anyone knows me, they know I love my baddies. And I am in love with these bad guys. I love the whole Victorian
Kevin
thing.
Kevin was saying last week about what makes a good toku was our topic last week. And he was saying, if your heroes suck, at least make your villains good.
There you go. And these guys are freaking awesome. And we got to see more. We finally got to see the Dark Emperor. Or the Emperor of Darkness.
Was yeah, Emperor.
Of the Dark Line.
Yami no Gote Heika. However you like to translate that.
Yeah. And he was interesting. Like, we get to see him in his human name. Form, I guess.
I know.
Zet.
It's like, yes, I watched Outbreak Company, too.
We get to see him in his human form, and he has a weird thing about sparkles.
Show him Wizard Infinity.
Implying monster form.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll definitely happen. It's a Sentai.
I absolutely think so. I was hoping to see that in this episode, and I liked how Nero, or
Baron Nero.
Baron Nero, yes, was so, you know who he reminds me of? From Power Rangers, Villamax and Ecliptor. You get this sense that
he's
not
like the nobleman.
You pointed this out, Kev. Like,
I was talking about Schwartz in that respect.
Oh, sorry, my bad, Schwartz.
Oh, the general, yeah.
The general, the guy
who... It's not that he, in his task, is inherently evil. It's that he is a man with purpose. He has, you know, this is my boss. I work for him, sort of relationship.
I like the term Dark Knight.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
It's more like a Dark Nazi.
Well, yeah, the hat
and
everything.
And the name.
It's German for black.
Well, isn't all their names mean black?
Yeah, yes. That's the thing. All the Tokyuger's names are different words that mean light, and all of the villains are different languages for dark.
Nero, Noir, Zed, I'm sure means something.
Meanwhile, on the Tokyuger side, light. Hikari.
Mio, Kagura, Tokari. Oh. I don't know what language Tokari is from, but it's a thing.
Yeah.
But, it was cool to finally see this guy. He looks interesting. Like, I'm wondering where this whole he loves things that sparkle leads. I'm wondering if this is going to lead into he's going to turn good in the end.
He's going to find Twilight.
Very possible.
I don't know, he just kind of alluded to the idea, you know, being in darkness for as long as I am.
This
he
is
finds
different.
The light interesting.
Yeah.
It's fresh. It's new.
This place is part of your world.
Yep.
Show him Twilight.
No, then he'll just kill everything.
All of the Kira Kira.
No, he'll love it.
It'll be like Lord Bills. You'll just piss him off.
But, the other side of the episodes were good, too. Like, I mean, I like the final battle. See both the Megazords like duke it out with the three whatever those were
Griners.
The Black Trains. There was one great bit though where we see Crossdresser Grimace on the side of the road, and this is just a total behind the scenes.
Damn it! You stole my discussion point.
Did I?
This is how Grimace Chan waits for the train.
Yeah, no, but I'm talking more on the side. Like, this was done by a public road, and those cars looked like they were civilian cars.
A guy on a bike.
There was a guy on a bike who I could just imagine. He rides
that. Double takes.
Like, crashes. What the fuck was that?
No, this is what happened. He drove past the station on his bike, looked at her, and went, nope.
No, I'm going.
Nope.
Fuck this shit. I'm going to America.
No, but guys, you have to understand. This is freaking Super Sentai universe. There have been enough of this shit going on that these guys have probably grown up with monsters running around. That's not even disturbing in the least.
No, okay. If you don't
random civilian rode past, you went, another one.
If you don't find Duchess Grimace disturbing, get help.
Let's see, what do I call her? Chicken nuggets? Poison chicken nuggets?
McNugget.
Grimace
Chan.
Oh my god. Wait a minute. Doesn't McDonald's actually do toys with Kamen Rider? That's one of their sponsors.
The show.
Could you imagine that for a second
at
the store they have like posters of her and Grimace like holding hands?
I don't want to marry the Emperor. I want to marry Grimace.
He's my soulmate. I see we're going on a Mickey Mouse logic here where your partner looks exactly like you in drag.
And the funny thing is, Grimace has less wrinkles.
I think I will marry the Raisin Chan.
That's the good air! Yeah.
I think I broke myself.
You broke all of us.
But anyway, good villain episode. I really like a good villain episode, and this one showed him off in a cool way. So, yeah, that's me.
Okay, Kevin.
All right. Well, I've got a couple things to talk about. The point of interest that really captivated me this episode was the 5v5, whatever we want to call this, the big clash of the two opposing forces in their full effect.
That was cool. It was more like 5v3.
Well, okay, kind of, sort of, but yes.
But it was 2-on-1 for a bunch of those.
The crows count as one person.
Yeah. Plus the emperor was there.
That's what I mean. Watching. Well, more on... The one thing that just kind of caught me, because I don't know if it's ever happened before... Stand behind the black line if you value your life.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I was like, that's totally just like the best polar expression to there. It's just kind of, stay behind the black line if you value your life. And I was like, ah. Yes,
I was genuinely intimidated.
And the Tokyuchers were just like, wait, what the fuck? Like, we gotta stand behind that line.
Yeah, no.
Which was nice to see them do it instead of the crows for once.
Yeah. And then they did it.
And the crows had to do it too.
But yeah, back to the initial point, it was really nice to just kind of have everyone there for, like, I mean, what are we, 11 episodes in, and this is happening? I'm like, oh!
This usually doesn't happen until, like, the 30s.
Exactly, when you're just kind of, like, you're reaching this climax, but not really, stage, where you're just kind of, like, you're getting to the climax of the series, but it's just big things are starting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really cool. But the one, like, the big turning point for me was when the Emperor had had enough of what was going on at the time. He managed to knock both teams on their asses by telling his side to stop attacking. He just came in and was like, all right, everyone stop. And it's just this... Poof. I was like... Him telling them to stop kicked everyone's ass.
Yeah.
Who are you?
The fucking Emperor.
Yeah, no shit.
No, you want to know who he is? You heard what his name was, right?
Yeah.
Fucking Emperor Zedd.
Yes.
It's Lord Zedd reincarnated.
Well, yes.
Minus the fact that Lord Zedd wasn't actually a thing in the Japanese version.
No, but I just think it's hilarious that his name is Zedd.
Quick thing, actually in my translation, I got Zett.
That's like, also possible.
Similar thing.
Yeah.
Which makes this a parody Rangers joke.
Yeah. That would be interesting, eh? His like, monster form is, like, a darker... I don't know how you get darker than our Lord Zedd, but...
The muscles are just jet black.
There you go.
So, I've come up with this theory.
Okay, I'm sorry, I have to put this out for a quick second. Quick second. Could you imagine if, in this version, they got the actual Zedd suit, because that was ours, like, how we use their suits for our Power Rangers?
That would be awesome.
Imagine his suit, his monster form, is Lord Zedd. Jesus!
That would make for a cool, like...
I would declare Tokyuger a success.
Yeah!
I would actually sit there, if they did that, and go, you know what, bravo Tokyuger!
Yes! You finally brought him over!
Oh, nope, fuck. No.
That 100 best game!
GameStop!
Which...
Anyway, sorry, you
Which goes back to my point, actually. I have this mind-blowing realization that I don't think it's quite sunken in with everyone yet. I don't think Tokyuger is getting as good as we think it is. And here's my argument. I feel like this is almost intentional, where it's gotten pretty good. I'd say that the quality has definitely gone up.
It's
countless, you know what I mean?
It's not episode 7.
But that's just it. I believe that they intentionally made the first X episodes so bullshit... that everything came after it, they were like, all right, now we can write well. And it'll be a great success.
That is a very real possibility.
They just take the first 7 episodes, they take the first 7 episodes and just fucking bomb it. They're just like, let's write bullshit for 3-year-olds.
That is a great new Coke conspiracy theory.
And that way, like, episode 8 rolls around, the fandom's like, oh, right, this is happening now. And it's just... Like, we're meant to get revved up because we're not seeing bullshit anymore.
You know what? That's a very real possibility.
Our expectations are now so low that just about anything looks...
Raven is accepting Tokuger.
The last two episodes.
Are you hearing this? Raven likes Tokuger. Alert the fucking presses.
I'm still hearing. I'm looking at it like, hey, yeah, no, I'm still very being very hesitant towards Sirius. But you know what? The last two episodes have been so solid in my opinion that it's just, yeah.
Just, this is getting too good.
The only thing that can make this turn this whole thing on its ear is if Lane just decided that, no, he didn't like the last two
episodes. Then we know the apocalypse is nigh. Where are the four horsemen?
No, the Emperor's boring.
They're all in the room.
Forza
will get this show canceled.
Like the coming apocalypse, the Forza horsemen.
Oh, God.
No, Tokuger's... The Emperor is actually working for Forza.
Oh, God.
Slaughter Kita!
That's me on Tokuger.
Speaking of Forza, just a quick note that as of this recording, the Raw for the Gaim Wizard Sengoku Battle movie is out. We did take a quick preview of that, but we won't be talking about it until after we watch the sub.
I understood your point of relation. Speaking of Forza, the Gaim Wizard movie was out.
Yeah, you did.
Now, I knew what you meant by that.
And so did I.
But if you
Hearing that out loud,
it's very... Wait a minute.
Anyone who knows what happens in that movie, which if you watch any of the promos you do...
Fuck it, not doing it.
Literally, that's what happens. But we'll get into that.
Fuck.
Why am I doing this?
If the subtitle comes out within the next week, that may be the topic of discussion on our next episode.
Yeah, it will be within the next month, probably.
Okay. I'm dead, Kita.
Okay, is that you
I
done,
cheer.
Kevin?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So I also enjoyed this episode a lot. That roller coaster cam, Shupachiko roller coaster Russia.
It's like, hey, let's give our cast a bit of vacation. We'll go on the rides.
Yeah, and then the best part was just Kagura in the fucking haunted house.
Oh, God, that.
Supergirl! The fucking house explodes from inside. Yeah, the Emperor making shiny things. Can we just show him Wizard Infinity and he'll just stare at him for the next hour?
Like, just...
That's how we beat him.
I feel like... That is so incredibly shippable because Haruto's a phantom. So just Infinity shooting off the sparkle and the Emperor just glaring off his darkness and just Haruto inherently just...
Hey guys. Sparkle.
Fuck yeah, sparkle. Another funny thing I noticed was the fact that Baron Nero apparently fights like Kung Lao.
There you go.
That hat is not aerodynamic like that, but he still throws it at someone like Kung Lao.
We had a James Bond moment. Razor bladed top hat.
I would like you to meet my associate, Random Task. Oddball and Random Task.
Although, it was this... I really should have noticed this earlier, but... Think about it. There is a Baron in both shows we're watching.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And the last thing I noticed was that they actively tried to chase the bad guys back to their hideout this episode. If shenanigans didn't happen... That might have happened. I thought that was interesting.
I think that can sum up Tokuger if you had to. Shenanigans happen.
Quite often.
True.
Reliably so.
Do you want to talk a little bit
about... Shenanigan Russia!
Do you want to talk a little bit about Grimace-chan? I'm sorry I took it away.
No, we pretty much covered it.
You know what else I loved about this episode? There was an incredible lack of Michi. That had to have been my favorite part. There was so no Michi in that show.
I didn't have to see him as Zangetsu. That was important.
There was no one I quite wanted to punch in the face in this episode. Although it looks like someone beat Michi.
I still want to punch Kagura.
Is Michi just the motherfucker who is genuinely very, very stoked when his elderly grandmother comes to him with these big Christmas sweaters?
Apparently,
in July!
Well,
I would just love to know...
April.
Just being all current Michi, grandmother,
This is wonderful.
I would honestly love to know.
All the schemes I will scheme in this sweater.
It's my scheming sweater.
No,
it's got, like, reindeers
guys,
on it.
Guys,
no one will suspect
you. You know what? Michi sat there. Grandmother once said.
Damn it, I was thinking it!
I would just love to know the behind the scenes reason for dressing him in that. Like, I'm sorry,
like my grandmother.
What was the
grandmother
artistic decision?
The grandmother once said, "Michi, wear the goddamn sweater. I knitted it specially for you."
So Michi's got a black grandma.
How is
no,
that?
No, fat grandma,
sassy grandma.
I didn't even know how that supposedly sounded black, but okay.
That's what I'm thinking. What?
Richie, goddammit! You come over here! You're wearing an organic Christmas
sweater!
You
wear that goddamn sweater, boy!
That's just a little racist.
Put the smut down on you, can't ask!
That's just a little racist.
Just a little.
But we digress.
But I'm doing an old lady voice.
Now you're doing more
salad.
Anyways.
We've
totally derailed the Tokyuger discussion.
Hey.
Hashtag old and obvious joke.
Now I gotta pull my dick out.
Okay. I thought I had another point, but no, it's gone. So, shall we move on to the topic of the week? Oh, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I have points? No? Okay.
Paul, do you have anything you want to say about
this? I don't care about Tokyuger, but I'll watch it for next week. Don't worry, guys.
Okay. I'm like, did you watch it? Go ahead.
Yeah, my thing, aside from what's already been said. So, I was watching the better part of the episode and just sitting there thinking something to myself with how relatable to the Tokyugers the Emperor seemed.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of sat there for a minute just thinking to myself,
is he Tokyu 6?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
It's like that little thought that popped into my head of, is the evil emperor going to be the 6th Tokyuger? Is he just going to completely turn face?
So.
I don't know about 6.
Actually, wait.
He have a silver motif. Going.
I might be remembering this wrong.
Is orange.
But
oh, sorry.
I remember reading a rumor that the 6th Tokyuger was someone who was looking for light inside people.
Hello.
Ooh.
If I'm remembering that article I read right, you know what?
Yeah, no.
You guys talk
that
about
was
later
just,
while I confirm.
That
this.
Was my thing. Like I was watching the episode and going, like, man, I hate. He was like, man, I hate the darkness. I've been in nothing but darkness for all the lights. This new thing, it's so wonderful. I like it. And it's just like, hi, yeah, no, that thing where the 6th Ranger has yet to show up. And
construction motif though.
Could be.
No, well, that's what the 6th Ranger
he's
is.
He's rebuilding himself into something new.
Yeah, more or less.
Would that have been any more forced?
Fuck off.
Yeah, for those of you out there, a picture just popped up on our TV screen because Zitch is looking for that article in question. It was just Light and Kota from Gain just standing next to each other in front of a tree in Helheim and just posing. Oh my god, that looks so forced.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, that was pretty much my whole point. My whole point there, just yeah, is the evil emperor just gonna turn face and be like, "No, I'm the Tokyuger now."
Could be an interesting route.
And everybody's just gonna be like, "What? Why are you? What? No, but you can't."
Yeah, just a quick reminder that Tokyu Rokugo is apparently the one with the iPhone for the changer.
Also that thing where I feel like the member of the Royal Guard that was walking around with them.
Oh, the Lamp Shadow?
Lamp
Shadow?
Yeah.
Lamp Shadow. I have this weird feeling that the Emperor isn't fully in control of his actions, and that guy is kind of the puppet master.
Yeah.
I got that feeling like, oh, you've been out in public too long, I have to bring you back to the darkness where I can go back to brainwashing you.
I don't know about all that.
That's kind of what it felt like to me. I don't feel like, I don't feel like the Emperor was 100%, like, you know, evil.
Yeah.
It's that thing where it felt like Lamp Shadow was kind of very much, nope, gotta bring you back and keep up your brainwashing now.
Oh yeah, that motherfucker had a lamp motif.
Alright, our feature topic for this week is going to be favorite Kamen Rider belts. For any reason in particular.
Well, I mean, belt and or
Henshin device.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The fact that you specify that means I know exactly what your answer is going to be.
I needed that specification too. I really did.
Okay.
I guess I'll start it off.
Sure.
That would be the case.
Part of my reason is a bit of a sentimental value because the first Kamen Rider series I really started watching was Double. So I really do just like the Double Driver. I think it's like really, I like its design of like with the slots and has two for like the memory drivers. Those are really cool. I like, you know, and just, I'm sorry, whenever that thing starts up, I get psyched. Cyclone Joker! Just the voices and everything that comes with it, too.
It's Kenpachi from Bleach.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that, that's that one of the voices, all of the Gaia memories.
Oh, nice.
Every last one.
I love the Gaia memories. I like all their different forms.
Money! I will say that the Gaia memories are my favorite Henshin trinket type device. Favorite belt, not favorite Henshin device, just favorite thing.
I think I'm with Lane on the whole Lockseed front. I think
those are brilliant. They are close, very marginally close second for me, but I still would prefer Gaia memories.
Okay. See, the thing for me, the Double Driver, is I like the symmetry of it. Like, I know that's the whole point of the series. I just like the two sides and how it, like, they work off each other. It also looks like one of the, like, more easy to use ones. I mean, you just, like, throw it in and, phew, like, throw your hands off to the side.
You want to talk easy to use belts? That is not the easiest.
Okay, I know back when we made this shit in the 70s, just press the button.
I'm not even talking
Mask Rider! Mask Rider!
No, there are easier pacing belts.
You have to do, like, guys, can I just bring up something right now? It depends on which person you are using the Double Driver, because quite frankly, if you're the wrong person, you're just ending up in a coma.
Yeah. Think about what would happen when you're Philip. You have no control over when you wear the belt, and when it happens, you go down.
Motherfucker, you go. Philip defecates himself when he, like, enters.
I always assumed he did.
Are we really talking about this?
He wore diapers. He releases his bowels when he dies.
Yes, Philip wore Depends.
Just imagine.
Just get that out of the way right now.
No, think about the fact that whenever he discovers something new, he goes crazy and researches it. Imagine how that must have gone when he discovered diapers and Depends.
Oh God.
Zokuzokusudene.
But yeah, I like the Double Driver. I think it's really cool little motif.
I'm sure Dave will agree with you.
Yeah. And so now that I'm done speaking, I pass on the Dragon Dagger.
It's now the conch shell.
The magic clarinet.
I got the legacy dragon dagger, and it's fucking huge. It's 1-to-1 scale. It's not a Henshin device, but can I go ahead and say that?
Anyway, actually something totally probably left field for a lot of people. I think my favorite of all time has got to be the Ginga Spark.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say the B.
No, that's the thing. I think the B Zector is definitely, like, one of my favorites, but when I'm thinking of a device, I'm thinking about the devices as a group, and I do have to give honorable mentions to the Zectors, like, as a design for a morpher. I think they're really cool. But the Ginga Spark, just the ability to transform into any of the Ultramen. That's really cool. It's like, in my opinion, Decade done right. Because it wasn't...
because there's a way to do that
worse. It was the right means of fan service in just that the antagonist had the Dark Spark, which was just, you know, monsters and evil Ultramen.
So it's Decade and then Dien Kano, or Chino Monaco. Kaijin Ride.
Oh, hold on. Is this including other Toku series? Is not just
Toku.
Rider?
Yes.
I guess.
Toku.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I kind of realized that, and then I'm like, oh shit, the Sentai morphers I have to pick from.
Can I say one more thing then? Just a quick one?
Yeah, sure.
I didn't know. Honestly, I gotta go back to Z-Ranger.
Dino Bugglers?
Yeah, Jesus Christ, those things are so cool. Like,
I has. Legacy.
I know you has. I wants is.
And totally just because it's me. Very honorable mention to the Titanium Morpher.
Oh, fuck, of all the yes.
One that's totally one of those, not necessarily honorable mention, but something need mentioned, Battle Fever J.
You mean the lack of a Henshin device?
Yeah.
Actually, no, want to change my entire answer. The panties from Hentai.
I'm so sad we that episode didn't get saved because Jesus Christ.
I changed my answer. Women's panties!
Oh my god!
Best hand device goes to used panties!
Oh my god! That's the best thing I've ever heard in my life! You're welcome!
Hentai Common! Go watch it if you're over 18.
And if you're under 18, have fun!
If you're under 18, we did not tell you to watch that movie.
No, if you're over 18. If you're under 18, good luck.
But yeah, just for talking about Hentai devices, put it on!
Literally.
Yeah, that's it. Just
put on!
Get dressed! Best Hentai device ever.
Can you zip me up?
Yeah. Out!
Careful, Paul. Don't wake up the monster.
Yeah, just cast off. I did it.
Pretty much.
Anyway, that is me.
Wow. So I've got a few in mind, but I'm going to try and keep this brief. If I sat and thought about it for a while, it may not be my favorite, but the one I've got in my head right now is the IXA driver, because it's one of very few Henshin devices that you can actually launch attacks with prior to Henshin. The fucking IXA knuckle launched giant balls of fire at your enemies. And just the idea of, like, you literally, while you're wearing that belt, you're punching in.
Oh dear.
Just the idea, like, put whistle in slot, you fucking jam it. Like, it's like a precursor to the Genesis driver.
Oh god. Oh god.
Oh no, you're dead.
Please don't ruin Gaim for me.
Hey, I like IXA.
I also like Gaim.
I like the O's driver, just the whole metal combination thing was cool. I like the Meteor driver, Disco Henshin is awesome. I like the ABBA Rangers changers because dino-themed wristlets, go! The Henshin sequence is really cool. What else? I really like the in-space morphers because it's the whole keypad system. There's a bunch more I can't remember. Oh, the Magiphones! Fucking awesome. Not only Henshin device, but cast magics.
Ichi's favorite transformation device is all the things.
Yes. Just because also phone? Fies, because.
What's your favorite transformation device? Yes.
Yeah, all of them.
All the things.
I think the thing that
I like Kiva, too, because it was one of very few Henshin devices that was sentient and alive.
Almost immediately following.
I know you're going to say the Zectors, but
almost immediately following up on Kabuto, where they were separate entities.
They were machines. Kivat was alive.
Yeah, the Zectors were AIs.
They were
in their own right.
That's something
I need you. Okay.
I was going to say aggressively sentient AIs.
Yes, yes, sir.
That was something I've always noticed.
The bee. Like, I don't want to let you use me right now. You're really nice.
The bee, the slutty AI.
The slutty AI, yo.
The bee is Hector. The town hack.
Yeah. The pissed off AI.
It attacked everyone.
No, you know what it was? The Zectors were powered by the AIs from Red versus Blue.
Oh, God.
Anyways.
What I was saying, though, is something I've noticed that in the, like, from the fans, at least, a lot of love really doesn't go towards the morphers, I've noticed. Except in maybe the Kamen Rider series, but that's, like, one of the main focal points.
Okay.
I've noticed, me personally, I've noticed that, like, yeah, when it comes to the Sentai and, by extension, Power Rangers, the morpher seems to be the afterthought these days to most people.
It really depends who you ask. It depends on the background of the fan. One thing I think we can all agree on, and not just us, but everyone out there listening, the worst morphing device... Jungle Fury's glasses.
Oh, God. It always comes back to...
Sunglasses!
The Jungle Fury!
Yeah, I know you love it.
And here I am sitting here trying to... Battle Fever J, but...
I was gonna say, I would rather watch a Battle Fever J Henshin than watch Jungle Fury.
Let's not say things we don't mean.
Oh, I'm totally on... I mean it wholeheartedly. I enjoy watching them get dressed more than watching Jungle Fury.
I don't want to watch Denji Blue get dressed.
I would rather watch Battle Fever get dressed than watch the Jungle Fury Rangers put on sunglasses.
Oh, Papa, no.
And you can quote me on that. Oh, moving on.
All right. My turn. Mr. Paul.
Paul.
Guy Reunit.
Yes!
Damn it!
Damn it, yes.
Yeah.
Unless you are a woman, in which case you're probably getting tentacle raped in the process.
Oh, no.
That's besides the point.
Sometimes you need that.
It only happened in the OVA.
Before you guys try to get me on any technicalities that it's not really Tokusatsu, let me just... Totally yes, we know.
Let me just remind you that it is inspired by a comment... It was ripped off Kamen Rider Black. Inspired by Shoto Ishinomori and his works, plus those live-action things look pretty Power Rangers-y to me. So, I will say this. I know the Henshin device is sort of the suit, but the suit looks really cool, and even when it is the Henshin device, like the little disc thing, it doesn't necessarily look bad. I like how the Gyver unit looks. It looks kind of like a plate sort of thing. Like, you guys can put in a picture of the Gyver unit. And it's got like a metal orb in the middle of it. It looks really simple and really cool, and it really only looks like that for a little bit in the show. But if you put up a picture of the Gyver like as a thing, that's his Henshin thing. Like that's not just what he uses to transform, it's also his crazy armor, and that armor is so sick. Oh my god, no matter which one you're talking about, they all look so goddamn sick. Oh my
Kevin,
god.
Kevin, you want to talk about Gavan, don't you?
No, I was just totally having an afterthought. Just, Ryuki and Hibiki for just lame henshin devices.
No, I like...
Tuning Force!
Not just Tuning Force. I actually like Hibiki's henshin devices. I just didn't mention them because they didn't stand out in my mind.
I think they stand out as pretty...
Not so much the tuning forks, but Ibuki's, Todoroki's, and Zankis, because Ibuki's was a whistle, because he was a wind element rider, and Todoroki and Zankis had, like, wrist-mounted little mini-guitars, and they strang it, and then lightning from the sky!
Yeah, no, but I love them! But the thing is silly.
I would wear the thing. I like it. It has a name I'm totally forgetting, but I wikied it earlier. I know that the henshin forks, the tuning forks, are called the onsa, but I can't.
Yes, but yes, and Ryuki because
it's a deck of cards and a belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, lazy ass, and that's why they sold them all as one package set.
Also, Blade. Because save Ryuki.
The belt that had one function: turn up, and you're done.
Okay.
That was my opinion on those belts.
Okay.
I totally agree with Paul on the Gyver unit thing. That was awesome. I didn't even think to say it. But mine is very much going to be the Sword Sector.
Yeah, I knew you're
it's a katana and a scorpion.
And it drips acid.
No, my henshin device is a goddamn katana. How do I transform? I take this scorpion, stick it to the katana, and boom.
Yeah.
Yup.
My sword bleeds acid. I am a badass.
And my rider armor looks so much more awesome than anyone in this room gives it credit for.
I know.
Did that backfire on you, Kevin?
Kevin's own stink bomb backfired.
Yep.
Look, Kevin Henshin.
Yep. Well, motherfucker, this room
is... His henshin device is his ass!
Motherfucker, this room's hot enough as it is. You don't need to keep adding gas to it.
Yeah,
he's
really.
He's not the only one.
Oh, charming. God.
Anyway.
I hate you guys.
It's like a side effect of you not being able to smell that we can't hear your farts.
Probably. Silent, but extremely deadly.
Anyways, hurry up so we can stop. Fash!
No, like I'm saying, I just love the Sword Sector.
According to Kevin, it smells like pumpkin seeds.
When you roast them?
Kachidoki farts.
Kachidoki party left Hansai.
Please finish it.
Kachidoki's an orange.
I know, but you were going on about how like a pumpkin.
Shut up. Finish. Yeah, it's the Sword Sector. And if I had to go into, Sentai Morphers,
Mulberries.
I thought about saying
to default.
I'm not really going to. I'm going to go with Time Ranger, just because I did like Time Force way back when.
The Chrono Morphers were so bland.
I liked them. I did.
I guess.
Oh, well. No, it's just they were... I just thought the whole thing was cool.
It was interesting how they were DNA locked.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, that's my thing.
Okay, well, with the Time Force reference, it's time for us to leave.
Ah.
Ah.
Time Force!
We're not doing it!
Wrong series!
Okay. Thanks for listening. This has been Cast Ranger Episode 9. As always, you can subscribe to us on our Podbean website. We're also on iTunes. And eventually, they'll be on the YouTube channel.
Whenever we can.
And our friend Cell Saga here would like to make another announcement.
I'm on another podcast called Room V's, where me and a few friends, we take a look at some movies from our past, talk a little bit about them, have some fun in the meantime, and tend to swear a lot. So, kids, come on.
You like swearing, don't you? That's Room V's with huh? one M.
Fuck yes, I do! Ah!
All right.
All right. Thank you guys for listening.
Did you get it?